Tomorrow symbolizes hope.
Hello, Agape Church. We are happy to see you, everyone, presented in Arlington campus and our digital campus through our social media so that we can all enjoy this time of worship to praise God. Today, you can make the decision of taking any of the following steps that can change your life. Baptisms. You know that this year we had baptized over 27 people and you could be one of them too. You could be a part of our C groups. Be a part of our small groups, which consist of 500 people. Or you can register to our ECC workshops, which has certified more than 200 people in our last cycle. Ask for a connection card. If you are in a physical campus, leave it in the mailbox. If you want to send a text message, send it to 94090. Text the word baptism. If you are in a digital campus, write a comment letting us know you're interested. Someone in our staff will get in touch with you. We encourage you to grow, connect with our church, because everything we do it for one more. Until everyone declares there is nothing better than being a Christian.
Good evening, Cafe Church. Why don't you give God a clap and tell him how much you love him? Yes! We love you, Jesus! It's so awesome to be back. I just arrived a few hours ago, and I had to go to Salvador for a marriage conference, and then I had to go to Mexico, but I'm here, and I thank you for your prayers and everything that, you know, and all the messages that I received while I was out. Thank you so much. But hey, let me pray for you. You're going to pray for me. Amen. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that everyone, Father God, that you have gathered here tonight, everyone that is watching us, Father God, online, Father, that you will bless their lives and you will speak into their lives, Father God. And we take this opportunity, Father God, to raise, Father God, I cry out for Alejandra Villegas, Father God, and we are going to keep praying and we're going to keep interceding, Father God, until you do a miracle over her health, Father God. And we pray over this bone marrow and we declare healing, a complete restoration and healing over her bone marrow, Father God. And anyone else, Father God, that is going through a situation tonight, speak into their lives, speak into their, Father God, into whatever situation that they're going through. And Father God, speak to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're in this series, Wilderness, and the truth is that this series, I'm preaching more to myself than I'm preaching to anybody else, because I really, really, really hate wilderness experiences. I mean, I don't like them. They're confusing. They're hard. They're difficult. You know, they're difficult to swallow. They're difficult to deal with. And honestly, when we're going through this situation and what we call a wilderness experience, if you remember, you know, is this this moment that we don't even know what to do. Is this moment that, you know, we find in a situation, ourselves in a situation that we don't know whether to go north, south. We don't even know how to act. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And today I'm going to talk about confusion in the wilderness, because if there's something that you will experience in any of those, wilderness experiences, is confusion. And being confused is so difficult. And I'm going to help you tonight, you know, something that it helps me, and I hope it helps you, on how to deal with confusion. Those moments of confusion. And I want you to go to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to be talking about how the people of Israel reacted to a very confused moment, okay? And in verse 17, it says this, and this is very, very crazy, because it says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Now, I want you to keep in mind this, is that they were slaves for 400 years, over 400 years in slavery, okay? Now, when it was time for God to deliver them, instead of having them cruise into the promised land, because this is our mentality. Our mentality is that I have suffered so much that now I deserve something. And I deserve that I don't want to suffer no more. And because I suffered through my childhood, I suffered through, you know, unbroken marriage. I've suffered through so many things. You know, now I should cruise into my promise. You know, I shouldn't have to go through anything. You know, I shouldn't suffer no more because I already suffer enough. And when you think about it, now when God delivered them from slavery, what happens is that instead of getting them through, you know, the shortest route, God says, no, take them to the longest route because they might change their minds. It's like God knows us. You know, it's like God knows that, you know, we say that we love him and we sing, you know, hallelujah, we sing all this, and then, you know, if something goes wrong, we might change our minds and want to go back to the same condition that he delivered us from. So what he did was, it was that he had a strategy, and this strategy was like, I had to do anything possible so they won't change their minds. And they go back to slavery. And you might think it's crazy. Why would anybody want to go back to slavery? Because people always want to go back to what they know, even if it hurts. And it's easy to go back to the same condition God delivered you from, because sometimes we have been in that condition for so long, and at least we know how to handle it. You know, and sometimes, to be honest with you, it's easier to be in slavery than to be free. Because in slavery, you do what you're told, and you just go with the faces, but while you're free, you make your own decisions, and you live by the consequences of your own decisions. So God had a greater plan. But to be honest with you, any of us that would have been in that situation would have been confused, because now it's like, didn't I suffer enough? Didn't my parents and my grandparents suffer enough? So now, you know, instead of you having me cruise into the promised land, you're taking me through a longer, you know, more difficult road into my promise, and that is very confusing. You see, and sometimes the problem is that God doesn't explain us what he's doing. He just does it. And sometimes, you know, when we don't understand what God is doing, and actually, most of the time, we don't understand what God is doing, and that is very confusing. However, to be honest with you, if God sat with us and explained it to us, we wouldn't understand it anyway. There's no way we would be able to understand it. You know, let me put it to you this way. If God tells you, hey, you're sick, and I'm going to heal you, but before I do, I'm going to allow for the doctors to exhaust all their knowledge, you know, and that you don't have any other treatment that you can go through, you know, and after that, after all that, I'm going to heal you so people will know that I'm God the healer and that I do miracles. You know, if God tries to explain that to us, we wouldn't understand. Even though if it's for a benefit, we wouldn't understand. If God tells you, I'm going to restore your life, but before I do, I'm going to let you make your own decisions until you hit rock bottom, because once you hit rock bottom, you know, the only way to look is up, and now you're going to look at me, and now you're going to really believe in me and trust me. If he explains that to us, we won't understand it. You know, and the thing is that God's processes in our lives, even though that we don't understand it, they're greater than our own decisions. And that's something that we need to understand. And when God did this with the people of Israel, when God did it, he had a plan, but they didn't understand it. And sometimes we don't understand what God is doing because we're hurting, and because the process and what he's allowing us to go through, you know, is so hard and difficult that we don't get it. We don't understand it. And it bothers us and it confuses us. And you know what's crazy? That sometimes, just sometimes, most of the time, God is allowing us to go through a very difficult, hard situation to deliver us from something and to get us into a better place. But ain't we so stubborn sometimes that we want to go back to the same place that God is trying to deliver us from? And that's what the people of Israel was doing, and that's what we do all the time. All the time. You see, sometimes that person that broke your heart, and you say, well, God, why am I suffering? Because God is allowing you to go to the heartbreak, so now you can trust him and look to him and deliver you. Sometimes you need to be suffering so much so you hate the condition that you find yourself in, and now you trust him and keep moving forward. And there's where there are so many things that if God explains to us why he's doing it, we wouldn't understand. And that's why we need to trust him. Jeremiah 29:11, it says like this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you, check this out, to give you a future and a hope. You see, that Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that even though I might be suffering now, or I might be going through this process now, if I trust him, his plans are greater than mine. And the people of Israel didn't understand this. That's why you see that now in Exodus 14, verse 3 and 4, it says like this. After God led them through the longer road, now God tells Moses this. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display, and check this out, this is important. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, so the Israelites camped there as they were told. We see now that God had another greater plan, a master plan. He said, you know what? Now you have the Red Sea in front of you. The Egyptians are coming behind you. Now you feel trapped between the Egyptians. I mean, if I try to swim, I'm going to drown and I'm going to die. You know, and now they're coming for me. They're going to kill me. And now they're trapped in the middle of it. And God says, my plan for this is that, you know, I want to show my glory. I want everyone to see my glory. I want all of them. I want to prove that I'm God to not only the Israelites, but to your enemies. I want to prove them that I am God. And they will see my glory. You see, he had a plan. And he wanted to confuse the Egyptians. He wanted to confuse Pharaoh. But you know, if we look at it, even the Israelites were confused. You see, sometimes God's plan is to confuse the enemy, but in the process, you also confuse. That's why we believe in worship, and that's why we believe in praise, because while you're praising and worshiping, you know, you're not focused so much in your problems, but you're focusing on him. And when you worship and you praise him, now you trust in him, because the more you worship, the more you praise him, now the more you will look up to him, and you stop looking into your situations. And the important thing is, and I want you to grasp this, and this is very important. God wanted them to see his glory. His glory. He wanted to manifest his glory. It wasn't for their comfort. You see, God is not so much interested in doing things so you can be comfortable. You know, he wants to do something in our lives to show his glory. If God wants to heal you, if God heals you, it's because he wants to show his glory. If God restores you, it's because he wants to show his glory in your life. He prospers you. He prospers you to show his glory, not for your comfort. And we got all this twisted. We think that, you know, we're going to pray to God and now God is going to operate because I want to be comfortable, because I don't want to be in the same condition. But you don't understand, you know, the more you understand that it's about God's glory, the faster you will understand the processes that you were going through. God had a plan. Now check this out, because this is very important. You know, check this out at home, because this is important. Now, the reason God wanted them to manifest his glory is because if God does something for your comfort, that's something temporary. That will sooner or later fade away. But when God does something for his glory, your life will never be the same. When you see God's glory, your life will never be the same. You see, what God wanted to do, if you keep reading, you know, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Numbers, you will see that all the time God was telling these people, remind them, tell your children and the children of your children what I have done. Tell them what I have done. And now when God was going to manifest his glory, this is what happened. They told their children and the children of their children what God has done, and their faith, based on what their parents or the grandparents went through, their faith grew. You see, God wants to do something in your life and in my life that it doesn't die with you. Because when God shows his glory over your life, over your situation, it's so powerful. It's so amazing that now you will have to tell your children about what God has done in the children of your children. You won't be able to stop talking about it. That's why you see that I write books about what God has done in my life and in my marriage. Why? Because I'm so passionate to see how God manifests his glory over my life. The only reason people have asked me, Pastor, so how you become a pastor? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, no, but tell me, how do you become a pastor? I said, I just had a passion. I wanted everybody to know. I wanted everybody to see what God did. I was the first Christian in my whole family. I was working American Airlines for 20 years. I mean, I worked American Airlines for 20 years. I didn't want to quit my job. But I was so passionate about telling everyone what God has done in my life and how he manifested his glory, that I can't stop talking about it. I can't stop preaching about it. And I can't stop preaching about him, because I saw his glory manifested in my life. And this is what God wanted to do. You see, what God wants to do in your life is greater than you. Is greater than your comfort, is greater than that relationship that you want, is greater than the job that you want, is greater than that ministry that you want. The reason we don't see God doing more things is this. This is the reason why we don't see God doing more things, because we want it for us. We want it for our comfort. We want it so we can be good. We want it so we don't suffer, but we don't want it to give him glory. So. That's what they found themselves into. God wanted to do something much greater and amazing. But they were complaining because they didn't understand. And is that it's confusing? To be honest with you, it's confusing. It's confusing when now you give your life to Jesus and you expect things different to happen. It's confusing when now you're suffering. When, you know, man, I gave my life to Jesus. I mean, shouldn't this stop? You want me to tell you the truth? No. It shouldn't stop. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. It doesn't have to stop. And if he makes it stop, it's for his glory, not for our comfort. But it's confusing. It's confusing because we feel the pain. It's confusing because we see the difficulty. It's confusing because we're experiencing the loneliness and the despair and the anguish. And all this is difficult and confusing. And sometimes we feel like, man, I want it to stop. I want the pain to stop. I want the loneliness to stop. I want the hurt to stop. Now check Psalm 77 because, you know, this is very important. Check because if you felt like this, you're not the only one. You know, check Psalm 77. Psalm 77, it says like this. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God will listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven. But my soul, check this, this is crazy, but my soul was not comforted. I don't know if you have ever been to a situation like this. He says, let me read it to you again. I cry out to God. Yes, I even shout. Oh, if God will listen. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. I pray, I searched for him. All night long, I pray with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God, and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. Ain't that crazy? I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I searched my soul and pondered the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? That is a crazy prayer. That is a crazy psalm because, you see, the psalmist is saying, and I don't even know what else to do. I'm looking for God, but I don't see him. I do what they tell me to church. You know, I go to my small group. I'm in ECC. I gave my life to Jesus. I worship. I put worship songs. I do everything I know to do, and I still feel this emptiness in my heart. I still feel this, and it's killing me. I don't even know what else to do. And it's crazy because he says, I even try to pray that I can pray. Have you ever been in a situation like that, that you know, you try to pray, but you don't even know how to pray and what to say because you feel so empty. You feel that he's not around. Like, and then he starts asking crazy questions. You know, questions, honestly, that I bet you and me have asked at one point in our lives. And because he starts remembering, man, I remember one time that I had joy. I remember when I used to feel his presence. I remember when I was serving him and I felt his joy and I loved him and it was amazing. But what's going on now? Then he asked, I guess he has rejected me forever. Is it that he will never be kind to me again? Is it that his unfailing love is gone forever? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? Basically, because you and I know that this is not true. That God's grace is forever. You know that he will never stop loving us. You know that his promises never fail. So the psalmist was confused. He was facing confusion. And now he was seeing things from a different perspective for what they really were. And he didn't know what to do in this wilderness, this crazy, awful wilderness. The people of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 and 12, you can read it at home. You see that they saw themselves. I mean, they have forgotten that God just had delivered them, you know. And now, you know, because they had the Red Sea in front of them, and now they had the Egyptians behind them, and now they started crying out to God, praising God, asking God, please, God, where are you? And at the same time, they were criticizing Moses because they panicked. Because that's what confusion does. It makes you worship God one day, and it makes you doubt the next day. It makes you have faith one day and lose it the next day. That's what confusion does. But I'm going to give you 3 points to get out of your way that are going to help you deal with confusion. And if you ask me, Pastor, so do they work? I think so. Because they have helped me. So this is not the most theological sound message or strategy. This is what have helped me. Number one, fill your mind with God's work. Fill your mind with God's works. I'm going to explain it to you. Just write it down, but I'm going to explain it to you. Fill your mind with God's work. You see, Israel forgot that a few days ago they were slaves and how God delivered them. They forgot. They easily forget. Like you and I, we easily forget. We easily forget what God did yesterday. You know, sometimes we don't have money to pay the rent. But we forget sometimes that, you know, we're serving the same God and we're loving the same God, and the same God loves us that provided for last month's rent. And we easily forget what he did. We easily forget how he saved us. We easily forget all the miracles that he has done. We easily forget how he healed us. We easily forget. Unless we train our minds. Unless we make our minds get filled and remember what God has done. You see, the psalmist, on Psalm 77, he was lonely, he was tormented, he was distressed, he was confused. But this is what he says. This is what he says. On verse 10 through 14, he says, after he said all that, after he asked himself all those questions, he said this, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. So not only that I don't see him, now I'm accusing him of my condition. Ain't crazy that when we start accusing God of our condition, when we made our own decisions? But then he says this. But then I recall all you have done. Oh Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. So let me teach you a very important principle that has helped me for years. Because to be honest, I hate confusion. And I hate wilderness. And I'm the type of person that whenever I'm going through a wilderness, I try to fix it myself first. I'm that type of person. So there's the principle. We cannot control our thoughts, okay? We cannot control them. You know, if you try to control them, if you try to say, I'm not going to think that way, I'm not going to think that way, you're going to end up thinking that way, okay? So when you and I, we're going through a situation that is very painful, it's very difficult not to have this messed up thoughts that come into our minds. You know, those thoughts like that psalmist that he was saying, maybe God has forgotten me. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I didn't do this enough. Maybe he's mad at me. Or worse. And sometimes, this is me. This is that. Doesn't have to be you. This is me. When I'm going through a confusion season or wilderness season, I can't even sleep. And if I get up in the middle of the night, that's it. Because those thoughts come into my mind and they torment and torment and torment. So what I do is I strive to fill my mind with thoughts of what God has done already in my own life. Think about what God has done in your life. In the middle of all the bad things that you might be going through right now, start thinking for a moment. Can you think of something good that God has done? Can you remember where you were you when God reached you? And you start thinking about those things. You know, I'm going through this, but I remember 2 years ago when God did this. I remember a year ago when he did this, and then I remember 3 months ago when he did this, and you start training your minds about the words that God has done in your own life. You do that first before you get to the second point. Okay? Number two, create a dependence on the Word of God. Check this out, because this is super practical, but I'm telling you, it just helped me. If there's a time you should start reading your Bible and fall in love with the Word, it's when you don't know what to do. It's when you're going through these confused seasons in your life that you don't know what to do. That's where you gotta start grabbing your Bible. And please listen. Don't just open it. Don't do that. Just make it a point that I'm going to read this book of the Bible for this many days because I'm so confused and so overwhelmed that I don't feel his presence, but I got to get and just do it. Just do it. Listen, I know it's too practical. I know it is, but I promise you that this helps. You see, as pastors, let me tell you a secret about pastors, okay? As pastors, we can get into the habit to opening the Bible just to prepare a message. And I can feel myself when I'm empty because I'm like, have I lost the habit of reading the Bible for me? That I'm creating so much content that I forget to read the Bible for me? And this is where I make another decision. I need the Word. And I'm going to read the Word for me. Not so I can be a great preacher, but because I need him. And I just make a decision. I'm going to start reading the New Testament, and I'm going to read it again. And even though that I can probably, you know, quote you some things to tell you where it is, I just start reading the Word for me. Let me see what God is speaking to me today. But I don't just open and say, well, let me see what God. No. I just make it a point. I'm going to read Matthew 1 today because he's sovereign. He's so sovereign that if I read Matthew 1 today, he's going to speak to me in Matthew 1. And I just keep reading the Word and getting to the Word. And you should do the same. Depend on God's Word. On God's Word. You see, when you start reading his Word and falling in love with him through his Word, now the enemy has no place to put thoughts in your mind. Now check what Job said. This is crazy. Let's go worship. Job chapter 23, verse 8 through 12. And you all know what Job went through. He says this: I go east, but he's not there. I go west, but I cannot find him. I do not see him in the north, for he is hidden. I look to the south, but he's concealed. But he knows where I'm going, and he tests me. I will come out as pure as gold, for I have stayed on God's path. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than the daily food. Isn't that crazy? Job is saying, you know, I'm trying to seek God. I'm trying to find him. If I go east, I can't find him. I go west, I can't find him. I go north, he's not there. I go south, I think it looks like he hide. But one thing I've done is that even though I can feel him, even though I can find him, you see, I don't know where he is, but he does know where I am. I do not see him, but he sees me. I do not find him, but I know he will find me. And how did he come with that conclusion? The word. It's because he made the word, he enjoyed the word more than he enjoyed his daily food. And if you enjoy the word more than your daily food, more than your phone, more than, you know, social media, more than phone calls, more than friends, you know, if you get a priority to the word, I promise you, you will cease to be confused in the wilderness. Because we all going to face them. We all going to face wilderness. Listen, I don't care how old you are. I don't care, you know, your status, your spiritual, you know, how spiritual you think you are, you know, how blessed you think you are. We all will face wilderness. And if you don't treasure this now, you will find yourself lost in the wilderness. Listen, make a decision tonight that you're going to get your Bible and read one chapter a day at least. One. Fill yourself with the Word of God. You're going to find yourself that you will enjoy the Word of God more than anything in life. Number three, so we can go. Fight and keep the peace. Fight for the peace and keep the peace. Fight for the peace. Fight for peace and keep it. Now, this is confusing because when we're painful, when we're in painful moments or painful season, all we want to do is, I want it to stop. I want the pain to stop. That's all I want. I want it to stop. I don't care how, I just want it to stop. That's why a lot of people, you know, they fall into alcoholism, drug addiction. They fall into, you know, sexual, craziness. You know, it's because we're just trying to make it stop. We're just trying to make it stop. We're trying to seek peace somehow. We're trying to find some type of stability. That Moses had to tell them this. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. You need to seek peace. And you need to fight for peace. How do you fight for peace? You fight for peace against yourself. you fight for peace in your mind. Because peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is not the absence of pain. Peace is trusting God in the midst of problems and pain. It's to keep trusting. It's to wake up tomorrow and still say, I don't even know how I'm going to do it. And you get up tomorrow and say, but I keep trusting him. And I put his word in my mind. And I remember what he has done. And I'm going to stay in peace. Because I trust him. And I trust him. And I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. Trust him. When you trust him, when you know that it's not up to you but to him, and you keep moving forward because you know it's up to him. You see, this is what Moses told him. Moses told him, hey, stay still. You can't do nothing about it. You see, the Red Sea is in front of you. The army is coming behind you. There's nothing you can do. It's not up to you. It's up to him. But if you stay still, if you trust him, then you will see him manifest. But if you try to swim, you will drown. If you try to fight, they will kill you. But if you stay still and you trust him, then you will see him manifest. If you do it on your own strength, you will fail. If you manipulate people, you will fail. But if you trust him, you will see him. And he will manifest and he will deliver you. That's peace. Peace is not to say, I rebuke the devil. Peace is when you say, I rebuke the devil and I sit still because I can do nothing about it. And now I just got to trust you because I'm tired and I don't know what to do. But I can trust you. It wasn't that moment. Check this out. It was at that moment that the Red Sea opened when they trusted him. It was at that moment, not before. It was at that moment that they went from confusion to amazement. Because now they saw the glory of God. Not before. Be amazed by God. Trust him. Just trust him and have peace. Please stand. You see, it was the moment that they didn't focus on the Egyptians. They didn't focus on the Red Sea. They focus on him, that now they saw the glory of God. So what am I telling you tonight? You will also be amazed. The moment that you keep trusting God in the middle of your confusion. The moment that you keep praising God in the middle of the wilderness. The moment that you keep serving God in the middle of your despair. The moment that you keep your eyes on him when everything around you is talking against you and is moving against you. So trust him. Let's trust him tonight. Father, if there's any type of confusion in your people tonight, I'll be the first one to say, Father, I trust you. Let's fill our hearts. Let's fill our minds right now. Just fill our minds right now with what God has done in your life. Something that God has done amazing in your life. Something that tonight you have to say, I have seen God doing this. I have seen God in my life. I have seen God in my family. I have seen God. Just fill your mind right now. Just fill your mind with His words, what He has done in your life. Fill your mind with His promises tonight. Understand that He is for you, not against you. That He loves you more than you can even imagine. That He loves you unconditionally. And have peace. Peace. Worship Him and just have peace. Just worship Him and have peace.
So much for watching this message. And if this impacted you in any way and you'd like to know what the next step is, go ahead and send the word accept to 94090 and one of our staff will contact you. And we have several resources here available at Cafe for your spiritual growth. Everything that we do here is for one more, until everybody can declare that there is nothing better than being a Christian.